So we're going to talk a little bit about Inyana Jema again, but we'll start, as we did last week, with the Parshas Shavua. Parshas Tezria starts with the mitzvah, or the halacha of the 33 days. Now, it's in the context of the Tumah V'Yeledes, but of course there's also a 33-day parsha that's Negei in our Inyana Jema, so that'll just be our segue. The Torah says about Yeledes that a baby is born. If she gives birth to a baby boy, so she's Tamei for 7 days, with a full-fledged Tumah. Yeledes is similar to Tumas Nida, that she's Tamei for 7 days. And then after that, there's a 33-day period whose halacha is pretty complicated, because there are two different halachas that are said about the 33-day period, and one of them is a chumrah, and the other one is a kula. The first halacha is that she's a tfulas yom arach, and she's a long tful yom. So what's a tful yom? Tful yom is a concept from Taurus, Tumen Taurus, so a lot of people are probably not so familiar with it, but the truth is that this is something that we really should be familiar with, or should try to, because it's actually, it appears in the very first Gemara, in the very first line of the Mishnah, of Talmud Bavli, right? How does the first Mishnah begin? From when do you read Shema in the evening? From the time that the Kehanim come back to eat Shema. And then the Gemara explains them what is that. That's Seisik Achavim. So when you're focused on Brachas and on Zman Kriya Shema, so you read the Mishnah that it was just a sort of long-winded way of saying that Zman Kriya Shema is from Seisik Achavim. But what did the Mishnah actually say? Seisik Achavim is the time that the Kehanim are Nechnasim Lachal B'Tshumasam. So what does that mean? That Kehanim only eat Shema at night, they don't eat during the day? No, it means that a Kohen who was Tamei and he went to the Mikvah, his Tara doesn't become complete until the nighttime. This is a halacha that's surprising to us, right? Nowadays we still have mikvah, but not with all of the ramifications that it used to have. So people have the association with mikvah that you go into the mikvah, and the mikvah makes you tahar. But actually the halacha is that the tahara comes in stages. A person goes to the mikvah, if he was tamei, with almost any kind of tumah, and he goes to the mikvah, so the mikvah makes him partially tahar. He's at that point, he's tahar enough that he's allowed to eat Maiser Sheni. Maiser Sheni is something that's forbidden while a person is tamei. Le'echalti va'ini,
le'echalti. Manu barni.
Yeah, that's not the pasuk. I'm sorry, it's the pasuk before that. But at any rate, but Maiser Sheni is usher to a tamei. And of course, a tamei is not allowed to eat Maiser Sheni, and also Chuma, and also Kachim. But those three things are three different levels of Kedusha, and so you need different levels of Tara to get reinstated. So when you go to the mikveh, you become Tara just a little bit. Tara enough to eat Maaser Sheni, but you're still not allowed to eat Shuma. Then when it gets dark that night, Seisik HaChavim, so then you become more Tara. Now you're Tara enough even to eat Shuma. But in so many instances, you're still not Tara enough to eat Kachim. The following day, there's a karba, not for all tumais, but for some tumais. The tumais hayotis alav megufai, those that are discussed in Parshas Tezria, mitzera, a yiledes, a zava, a mitzera, those will require a karban the following day, and then after you bring that karban, then you're tahar enough even to eat kachim. Then you're fully tahar. So the tahar comes in three stages. The tefillah is the first one, then seisik achavim or harav shemesh is the second one, and then the karban is the third. When you're in between those first two stages, you went to the mikvah, so you're tavol, but you're still waiting for the end of the day, that's called a tful yoyim. And the tful yoyim is in that partial tara, partial tumah status, where he's tara enough for maaser sheni, but he's not tara enough for tumah. Now, that's true for almost everyone that goes to the mikvah, somebody that came into contact with a mace, or somebody that came into contact with a nevel or a sheretz, or somebody that was a zav or a zava. They go to the mikvah, they become tahar and partially, and then they're a tful yom, and then that night they become more fully tahar. So you're a tful yom for a few hours. You go to the mikvah, let's say at 3 p.m, and then it gets dark at 8 o'clock at night. So for those 5 hours, you're a tful yom. By Yeledes, the Torah introduces an idea called a tful yom aruch, a long period of tful yom. For a ben zachar, if someone's a Yeledes, a ben zachar, she's a tful yom for 33 days. Meaning at the end of 7 days, she could go to the mikvah. She had her tefillah, her tara started. She's tara enough to eat Maaser Sheni, But she's still Asr B'Truma and Asr B'Kachim and Asr to come into the Beis HaMikdash, meaning she still has most of the effects of the Tumah for another 33 days. And then at the end of day 40, when it gets dark, there's a Kavamah that night, then she stops being at full Yom. Her Tara becomes complete, except she's still Mechutzei Kippurim, but at least for Tumah, her Tara becomes complete. That's her Shosh and Shakehanu Nechasam Nachal B'Trumasan happens for her. Instead of a few hours later, it happens a few hours plus 33 days later. So that's called the Tful Yom Aruch. That's the first halacha of the 33 days that it says in Parashas Tezriah, that she and it's a chumrah, that unlike every other tamei who just has to wait a few hours after her tefillah to become fully tahar, a yeledes has to wait 33 days. But there's also a second halacha of the 33 days, and this one is a very, very big kula. A woman who's tmeya, right, yeledes, we said, is a similar din to a nida, right? There's two halachas. One is that she's tamei, she's asr to eat maaser sheni and truma and kachim, and she's asr to go into the Beis HaMikdash, all the halachas of tuma that were relevant to all the tmeim. And all of that is not negayin nowadays. Nowadays we don't have truma, maaser sheni, Beis HaMikdash, karbanos. So all hilchas tuma v'tara have more or less fallen away. But the halacha of nida, of course, still exists, because the nida also has a din that asrs an isha labala. That halacha tracks very closely with the tumah, but it's not always exactly the same. It's a separate halacha that a nida, besides for being tumeya, she's also a surah labala. Now, in the case of the eledes, they diverge, because when she goes to the mikveh at the end of 7 days, we said that tefillah isn't really mitahar her. I mean, the tefillah never is mitahar somebody fully, right? She's still a tful yom. This woman is still going to be a tful yom for a month, right? For another 33 days. By the way, in the case of an akev, it'll be 66 days. So she's still tummy for a long time. But mutaris labala, she becomes immediately. If she goes to the mikveh at the end of 7 days, she becomes mutaris labala. But then the Torah says a chiddush. And not only is that tefillah mitahar her labala, but for the following 33 days, there's nothing that could happen that would make her asur labala. Meaning that even if she's going to have dam, like any nida, there's a suspension of hilchas nida. For those 33 days for a zachar or 66 days for an akeva, even if she sees dam, it's not going to asur her labala. It's called dam toihar. This dam is considered tahar, and it does not asur a woman to her husband. That's the din as it's said in the Torah. Now, lemaisa lahalacha, you know, before that, we're not really knowing this way nowadays, but before we come to that, just to put into perspective, what we have is the Torah said two dinim about these 33 days, one legabe the tumah, one legabe the isra labala. Legabe the tumah, these 33 days represent a chumrah, that she stays tameh for a lot longer than most people. Instead of being a tful yom for a few hours after the tefillah, she's a tful yom for a month or two, right? Depending on zachar and akeva. But yeah. But on the other hand, legabe the isur labala, these 33 days are a tremendous kula. They're the days of tara, and it means that during these 33 days, even if she's seeing dam, she remains with tara labala. Now, we're not knowing that way nowadays. It's brought down to Shulchan Aruch that we're not knowing that way. It's interesting that the Rambam says that it's really tolling on minig hamakom. He says that by the Svardim, we're not knowing that way. Rambam was among the Svardim. And it's interesting the way he states this halacha. He says, in the lands of Be'eretz Shinar uve Eretz Hatzvi, Uva Svarad, Uva Artsis Hamarav. And what is that? Shinar is Bavel, so that's Iraq, Syria, maybe Iran also. Eretz Hatzvi is Eretz Israel. Svarad is Spain. And Artsis Hamarav means North Africa, meaning west of Eretz Israel, North Africa, so that's like Libya, Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia. Those are the places that the Rambam lists. But Bekitzer is what we would call where the Svaradim come from. All the lands of the Svaradim. The Rambam says, we're all noyeg that we're machmir on this halach of dam toyar. We're not makel with this, so Isha would not be mitaris labala during that time if she sees dam during the meitayar. But the Rambam says, avol shamati, but I heard shebet sarfas, that in France, by the Ashkenazim, by the Balei Taisis, they still followed the din of the Torah. Meaning, he clearly didn't consider it to be a real halach medina de gemara. It was totally a minig hamakim. And he says, Shamati, he never went there. He never met the Ashkenazim at all. The Rambam, he lived his whole life among the Sephardim. But he says, but I heard that in France, they still make a lot of Yemezeh in Dam Tayar. Now, I don't know if there's any independent corroboration of that from the Balei HaTosfos, who lived at that time in France. But I do know that a few centuries later, in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a little bit ironic that it's the Ramah, of all people, it's the Ramah in particular, who says, nowadays, nobody is making with Dam Tayar. He says, B'mdina Seinu, meaning obviously the Ashkenazim, that, yeah, we're machmir on this. Why are we machmir? The Torah says that it's mutter, so why are we machmir? So it's interesting, one of the reasons that's given is because it would create confusion in a case of a Suffolk Leda. Now, what's a Suffolk Leda? I'm not sure how many children you have. A Suffolk Leda, because, you know, when we think of a Yeledes, right, the Parashat Yeledes, we think of a Yeledes being associated with a Mazel Tov, right? A woman gives birth to a baby. Torah says if it's a boy, so you have this number of days, a girl, this number of days. But really, the Parashat Yeledes applies equally to a Mapeles, to a woman who miscarries. That also triggers the Hilchos Yeledes. And a miscarriage, especially an early miscarriage, could be mistaken for, you know, sometimes a woman can have a discharge early on and it's not so clear, was this a pregnancy? If it's very early stages, was this a pregnancy and this was a miscarriage, or was it not some other kind of a discharge? So then what happens? If she doesn't know, if she has a Suffolk Leda, so she would have to act as a Yeledes L'chumra, but not L'kula. So they were worried, again, this is post-Talmudic, but the Chachamim were worried that if every Yeledes knows that when I'm a Yeledes, I'm muteris, even if I become a Nida, I'm muteris to my husband. And then when she has this Suffolk Leda, and the rabbi is going to tell her, oh, you have to follow the halachas of Yeledes, l'chumra. So she's going to say, oh, halachas of Yeledes, that gives me kulis also. So because of that, they were worried that it's going to lead to confusion and it's going to lead to people being makel when they really usher. So they abolished it. So the mice, and nowadays we don't follow this halacha. That you're tmeya for 7 days. Which the truth is that nowadays is probably not that nageya, because she's surely gonna, there's gonna be dam for that much time anyway, right? But
speaking about the nowadays again, right?
I hear. That's a good kasha. You know, I mean, the chumra is because a yeledes is tmeya even if there's no dam. Now, that really, to us nowadays, that seems like a foreign scenario, right? The, you know, as I'll say, the psichas akever makes her tmeya even if there's no dam. Every leda, practically speaking, I mean, every leda, at least in the 20th century, every leda has dam. Wasn't once different that, you know, than that, I don't know. But that's the chumra. The chumra is that she's tmeya even though there's no dam. That's the chumra that he's talking about. So practically speaking, this halacha of Yeledes is not really in again nowadays. Because again, there's, you know, the Tumah V'Tahara part, that she's a Tful Yom Aruch, is altogether not in again nowadays, right? We don't practice Tumah V'Tahara. The Issa Labala, Heter Labala, that would be Negev theoretically. We're still Noye Hilchas Taras HaMishpacha. But the big kula that the Torah made for the 33 days is not practiced anymore. So Lamaisa, bottom line, the halacha of Shleishim Yomim, Shleishis Yomim, doesn't really affect our lives anymore. But, okay, so that's the end of that part of the discussion. But, of course, we do have a different association with Shleishim Yom and Shleishis Yomim. And the Chassam Sofer has an interesting ha'ara. The Chassam Sofer says that, you know, it says in the Parashat Tezriya, V'yom HaShmini, right? It says that V'tama Shivas Yomim. U'v'yom HaShmini Yimah B'sar Alasai. And then Shleishim Yom and Shleishis Yomim, Teishiv V'mei Tara. So it puts the Mila there in the middle. So he says in that connection, what it seems like is if, you know, we think of the Mila as the time that Klal Yisrael gets, or I'm sorry, a baby gets his Nishmas Yisrael, gets, I don't know, some kind of membership, his Kedushas Yisrael, something takes effect for the baby by the Bris.
The Eitz
Yotayv. Okay, maybe the Eitz Yotayv. So the Bechtam Sefer says that maybe whatever that Kedusha is, he only becomes fully settled and is yashiv by when he turns 40 days old. Meaning it takes 33 days for that to get settled in, for that kedusha to really, let's say, bichal. And the Chassam Sofer says, you know, maybe that's the pshat in these numbers that we find in the parasha. And if that's true, the Chassam Sofer says, we come up with an intriguing idea that when the Yidden were taken out of Mitzrayim, so there was a national bris milah that happened right before Yitzhak's Mitzrayim. So right before Yitzhak's Mitzrayim, everybody got a milah. So that's when they got this kedusha, this neshama, this aliyah. And then that takes some time to settle in. How long does it take? 33 days. Which means when Klai Yisrael zoicha to the full Kedushas Yisrael? Lag Ba'imer. And the Chassam Sofer says that Mikan Rem is maybe the Lag Ba'imer Min HaTorah. Now, the truth is that the Cheshbon is a little bit hard to... What?
Doesn't work. No. The arithmetic doesn't work.
Yeah, why?
Because they had to have the meal before they had the Korban Pesach.
Very good, yeah, very good, Kasha. The arithmetic seems not to work because... Because the meal really happened on Erev Pesach, on Yud Dalet Nisan. And Lag Ba'omer is the 33rd day from the 16th of Nisan.
That's why the Sfarim do
34. Ah, okay. So we're off by... No, that just makes me more off. So we're off by a couple of days. So that's a good Kasha. I don't know what the Chassam Sofer meant. I'm speculating maybe the Chassam Sofer's thinking was that although they did their meal on Erev Pesach, but whatever it's supposed to, so to speak, to do for you, it only started doing after you cease to try. I don't know. I'm not sure why we would say that. But I'm saying this is the Chassam Sofer, and I agree that the Cheshbon doesn't seem to work so well. But what I really want to bring out with this Chassam Sofer, first of all, that he makes a connection between those 33 days and these 33 days. And moreover, that he says that, you know, this may be an explanation in the mystery of Lag Ba'omer, like we're looking for a pshat in what's Lag Ba'omer all about. So that's really our introduction, that there isn't really any straightforward answer to what's Lag Ba'omer all about and where does it come from. And as we'll see going forward, that even in the times of the Rishonim, it seemed that there was this widespread idea that there's some significance, and the Rishonim themselves were grappling with trying to figure out what it is.
There was no Lag Ba'omer Pesach the first year. It was only after the first year.
Well, the first year, you mean the year of Yitzhak Mitzrayim?
Yes.
There was a Pesach, but it wasn't 7 days long.
Right.
Lag Ba'omer only became something with Rabbi Akiva, or was it something first base Hamikdash?
No, I don't think so.
So Lag Ba'omer is the day Rabbi Akiva's students. The 24th.
Oh well, that's our next step. We're gonna start to explore that. But you mean to be saying to the Chassam Sofer? So the Chassam Sofer is saying a chiddush. No, definitely. I'll be pashtus. It has something to do with the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, but the Chassam Sofer is suggesting that maybe there is a remez in the Torah to allude to the idea that there's some kind of kedusha on that day. You know, certainly. I guess this is. Forcing us a little bit out of order, but if we say that's when Talmid Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, so is there some special reason? Was there something special about that day that would have made it the day that they stopped dying? I mean, even if what we're commemorating has to do with the story of Rabbi Akiva, but maybe there was some kind of kedusha or specialness invested in that day beforehand. That's what the Chassam Sofer is trying to work towards. But I agree with you. His vart really is al derech drush. There's a kasha on the arithmetic, and it's also al derech drush because Bapashas, in that period of time, there didn't need to be any Lag Ba'omer. But I'm using it just really to shift us into Lag Ba'omer. Where does the real story of Lag Ba'omer start? So the Tur in some Tav Tzadi Gimel, he brings down the halacha of that there's a minhag, he says there's a widespread minhag that people don't get married during the days of Sfira, and people don't take haircuts during the days of Sfira. So these are both practices of Avelus, that we're knowing Avelus in these two ways. These are the two things that the Shulchan Aruch mentions, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch mention, the not getting married and not taking haircuts. And he says, and the reason is because being Pesach Latzeres is the time that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. We mentioned last week, I think, the Gemara in Yevamos says that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. They were like, Nagu Kavod Zevazeh, Hashem made them all die out. It was considered a major national tragedy because this was the Hemshech of the Maseira of Torah, and it was really all jeopardized. So then there was some Avelis that was put into effect. I don't remember if we went through this last week, that there isn't any reference to this in the Talmud Bavli. There's no, we don't have a record of this going back to the times of Rabbi Akiva. The first record of an Avelis that were noyeg during Svira really appears in the times of the Ga'inim. There's a tshuva that's either from Rav Haigain, or some say that might be from one of the other Ga'inim. And they say that, you know, they weren't coming to institute the Avelis. They were referring to a known practice that Klal Yisrael is noyeg Avelis during this time. And they were saying that maybe it's because they started to do this in the times of Rabbi Akiva. It's not recorded in the times of Rabbi Akiva, but it's attributed to being because of that. And then the Torah brings us down. And then the Torah says, V'noyagim, and the minhag is that we take haircuts, min lag ba'imer ve'eloch, starting on lag ba'imer. In other words, that's when we end the sphira, the avelis. The avelis just goes into lag ba'imer, and then it ends. And he says, sha'oz paskulamos, because that's when they stopped dying. Now, it does not say that in the Talmud Bavli. In the Talmud Bavli, it says they died being Pesach la'atzeres. The Torah, without any attribution, without any footnote, the Torah says that on Lag Ba'omer they were paskul amos. So the Beis Yosef is bothered by this. Where did he get that from? Or, you know, they, whoever was doing this and saying this, where did they get this idea from? So the Beis Yosef says that although in the Talmud Bavli it just says be Pesach la'atzeres, but you often find in stories that Chazal tell that if you can find the story told in more places, you might find more details. A lot of times, Divrei Torah are Aniyim b'makom echad, Ashirim b'makom acher. And the same story might appear in the Talmud Bavli, and also in Midrashim, and also maybe in Yerushalmi, in various places. And each place, each telling might fill in some details that I'm missing in other places. So he says there's a Medrash that brings the story of the Midrash of Yekiva that they died, and instead of saying Mipesach ad Atzeres, it says Mipesach ad Prois ha'atzeres. It is the word Prois. What does that word mean? So it appears in Mishnayos and Masechet Shkalim. In Masechet Shkalim, it refers to Prois ha'Pesach, and the Gemara says it means 15 days before Pesach. And Prois ha'Chag means 15 days before Sukkot. So if the Medrash says Preis HaAtzeres, they died until Preis HaAtzeres, that means until 15 days before Shavuos. It's 49 days in the Omer. Subtract 15. You're left with 34. It's like the Beis Yosef. It's close. It's like we have a Medrash. I mean, we have a Makor now to some story that kind of resembles the story that the Torah is telling, Sha'az Paschal Amos, but it doesn't quite match. The Beis Yosef says, I can get it a little closer, because you keep in mind that in all Hachas Avelis, we always follow a rule that mixes Hayem Kekulai. Every time a person says Shiva Rachman Alitzlan, so Shiva means seven, but you know, Shiva isn't really 7 days. Shiva is the day of the Kvura. So let's say the Kvura finishes at 4 PM, so that counts as day one, even though there's only a couple of hours left. And then you have day 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Those 5 days are whole. And then day 7, the Avelim Davin Shachris in the morning with people coming and visiting them, and then after those visits, they leave. The Shiva is over. They get up and they're done. Because both at the beginning and at the end, we say, Mixas Hayem Kekulai. So Zog the Beis Yosef, so if I have a Makar that could lop off the last 15 days, so the last day could be day 34. And there's a Mixas Hayem Kekulai, which means that you don't really have to be Noyeg Avelis on day 34, just be Noyeg for a little bit of day 34, and then it's over. So the last full day is day 33. Maybe that's what the Torah meant, even though the words of the Torah really are not Meduyeg Lefizah. The Torah said, Milag Ba'im Reve'elach. What the Beis Yosef is saying is that I can't really make sense out of that minhag, because to say Sha'az Paschal Lamos has no makar whatsoever, but I can make sense out of a minhag that starts just a few hours after that. 34 on day 34, with a mix of Yom Kekulai, you could consider the Avelis over. So he says that's probably what the Torah meant. I mean, he doesn't really commit himself on whether that is or isn't what the Torah meant, but he says that's a minhag that at least is close to the words of the Torah that I could make sense of. And so in Shulchan Aruch, that's what he writes. The Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, he says there's no such thing as Avelis until Lag Ba'imer, but there is such a thing as until Lad Ba'imer, and that's what he endorses. The practice that the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch is that you should be knowing Avelis for the first 34 days. The 34th day you're allowed to be Meku, because Mixas Yom Kekulai, so until the morning of the 34th, and then you're allowed to take haircuts and you're allowed to get married. The Avelis goes off on the morning of the 34th. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Then the Beis Yosef quotes from a very interesting source. It's a Tosfos. He says he's quoting Tosfos, but it's not a Tosfos that we have anywhere. Now, that's not so unusual. I think we've talked about this before. Tosfos is not really one particular sefer. Tosfos means all the teachings that came from the yeshivas of France in the 11 and 1200s. Those are all called Tosfosim. And in the times of the Rishonim, there were many, many different Tosfosim that were going around. And when somebody would quote a Tosfos, it wasn't really Tosfos with a capital T. It wasn't referring to a particular sefer. It was just, you know, a sefer of Tosfos. So lots of times, Rishonim quote from Tosfosim that we don't have. Over here, the Beis Yosef quotes a Rishon who quotes a Tosfos. Now, the Rishon that he quotes is a sefer that we're mostly not familiar with. He quotes from Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib, not a household name, from the Tekufas of Rishonim. But he was, if I'm not mistaken, a Talmud of the Rashba. And his sefer is a sefer of drushes that are on the parasha. You know, that are combination usually of drush and Kabbalah, and sometimes a little bit of halacha brought in, you know, if it's like negeh, if it ties in with his drush. But they're really drush. It's not a halacha sefer. It's not the kind of sefer that is likely to make it into the Beis Yosef, which is a halacha sefer. But over here, the Beis Yosef says that in the drushes of Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib, he quotes a Tosfos. So that means that this is probably a Tosfos that was around in the Beis Medrash of the Rashba. They had this Tosfos. We don't have it nowadays. But in the Tosfos, it says a fascinating thing. In this Tosfos, it says that everybody has in their head 33 days in Omer, 33 days in Omer, right? Lag Omer. But everybody's getting it wrong. They think that means that certain halachas of the Omer, right, the halachas of Avodah Zarah, only go up until the 33rd day. No, it's something completely different. It's that we're noyig avelus in the Omer for 33 days. Why 33? Because altogether there are 49 days. But the first seven are Yom Tov. And then there are six more that are Shabbos. That's 13. And Rosh Chodesh Iyar is 2 days, and Rosh Chodesh Sivan is one, so there's 3 days of Rosh Chodesh. So that makes 16. So there are 16 days in the Omer that we wouldn't say Tachnu, and that, you know, that are like holidays, either major holidays or minor holidays. So those days were not noyik the Avelos. So the Avelos for the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva are noyik for 33 days. According to this minog, that's included in the Avelos. What it says in this Tosfos is that the Avelos is noyik for 33 days, but not in the sense of up to day 33. 33 days, because you can't count the Shabbos and the Yom Tov and the Rosh Chodesh, which means that it's straight through. L'maisa, the Avelos is noyik all the way till Shavuos. The only kula that you'll have l'fizeh is that on those 16 days, there's no Avelos, so you'd be allowed to take a haircut, but that's not so useful because 6 of the days are Shabbos and 7 of the days are Yom Tov. Those days you can't take haircuts anyway. Oh, but you know where it's useful? Rosh Chodesh. According to that, what?
Not according to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid.
True. Okay, this is not going with Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So according to that minhag, you'd be allowed to take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh, on the 3 days of Rosh Chodesh that you have during Sfiras HaOmer, but no other day during Sfiras HaOmer. And the Baal HaTosa said, and that's the story with the 33 days. In other words, there was an awareness of an idea that there's some magic number 33, and there was debate about what it meant. And some said that it meant that the Avelos goes until then, and Tosfos comes along and says no, the Avelos goes the whole way. But the reason why people talk about 33 is because there are only 33 such days within the Omer that you can actually be noyig avelos.
You can make a chasana?
Right. You can be allowed to make a chasana on those days also.
And Shabbos?
I think so. According to that minhag, I think it should follow that you'd be allowed to make the chasana on Shabbos.
There's no avelos on Shabbos anyway, so,
right. Now, there's, so far you have the minhag of the Beis Yosef, which is to go until day 34, and then there's this other minhag from the Baal HaTosa quoted by Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib that the Avelos goes straight through to Shavuos. Now, as we know, the Ramah says something very, very different. That the Avelus starts Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and it goes until the end, or until the Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah. Two different versions. I think what's the more common one nowadays is that it starts on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and it goes till Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah. And then during Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah, they're not Noeg Avelus. Am I right? Anybody here follow that minhag?
I don't think so.
I think it goes till Shavuos. So then it starts after Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, those are the two alternatives. I'm not sure which one is found nowadays. But the two that are talked about in Paiskim is either that it starts on Rosh Chodesh and it goes till Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah, or it starts after Rosh Chodesh 2 days later and then it goes until Shavuos. But in other words, there's a 2 day discrepancy. But basically, it's what people it starts from approximately Rosh Chodesh Iyar and goes till approximately Shavuos. And that's what people call nowadays keeping the second half, right? The second half of Sefiras HaOmer. What's the idea behind that? That's
what's the reason for the Avelus in those days, Tel Shavuos?
So it's because of Talmid Rabbi Akiva.
But they stopped on
the... Oh, so, well, certainly if I mean, that was used as the basis to explain the other minhag. Right. What's the basis of this minhag? So the Bach writes that it's based on a Tosfos. Again, not a Tosfos that we have. The Tosfos that we were just saying over from Yeshua ibn Shu'ib, but with a one-word difference that changes the whole thing. Meaning, it's like this Tosfos that we were just quoting about how there's 49 days altogether, but if you take out the Shabbos and take out the Yom Tov, if you take out the Yesh Chodesh, then you're left with 33. But whereas the first version of Tosfos said that they were dying for the whole Omer, but we're only Noeg Avelus for 33 days because you have to take out Yom Tov, Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh. The second version, the way the Bach quotes it, is that they only died on the day, meaning when Hashem sent this Peronis to Kal Yisrael, the Peronis was suspended for holidays. The Talmid Rabbi Akiva didn't die on Pesach, on Shabbos, and on Rosh Chodesh. Mm-hmm. They only died on the other days, which means that they were dying for 33 days. They were not 33 consecutive, but the days of death of Peronis were 33. And since there were 33 days of Peronis during Sefiras HaOmer, so there's a minhag that we should be Noeg Avelus for 33 days during the Omer. But we have a big kula in our minhag, and that is that it doesn't have to match the same 33 days. So our 33 days will include Shabbos. We take 33 consecutive days. And once you're doing that, it hardly matters which days they are, so therefore there's different minhagim. So the Ramaz minhag that you start from Rosh Chodesh Iyar and you go till the end, the idea is because that gives you 33 days. There are 16 days in Nisan. The Rosh Chodesh Iyar is, if I'm not mistaken, Rosh Chodesh Iyar was day 17. The second day Rosh Chodesh was day 17, which means that there were... No. Beis Iyar, this year was every year. Beis Iyar was day 17, right? Rosh Chodesh was Friday, Shabbos, mm-hmm. and then Sunday was the 17th. So if you start from after Rosh Chodesh, Beis Iyar, that means you're leaving out the first 16 days. You go from there until Shavuos, that's 33 days. Like I mentioned before, there's an alternative minhag that you could start 2 days earlier and include Rosh Chodesh and then end 2 days earlier to leave out the Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah. But again, it's still 33 days. So you're picking 33 days during the Omer. Why? Because they died for 33 days. We're not being misabel the same days that they died, but because we have this Maseirah that they died for 33 days, so we're not 33 days of Avelus, but we picked the last 33 days, even though those aren't the same days that they were dying. That's the Pshat on the meaning of the Ramah. So it's based on, it's interesting, a Tosfos that we don't have at all. The only Makar for this Tosfos is in one region, Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib, but it's not the way that the Tosfos is quoted by Rabbi Yeshua ibn Shu'ib. It's changing a word or two that instead of saying that those 33 days are the days that were Noeg Avelus, we say those 33 days are the days that they died, and therefore we can be Noeg Avelus any 33 days. Okay, so...
What's the logic in picking Stam 33 and not the 33?
Well, because that would be a much more intense Avelus. So it's a cooler, since it's only a minhag. So
like we don't have to do Rosh Chodesh on Tuesdays because it works out better because we could lay in 3 days in a row. I mean, it's,
right. I see what you're saying. But I think the answer is because this is anyway not Me'ikir Adin. This is think about it. It's really pretty surprising chumrah altogether. There were noyig avelus during Sfira because of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Mm-hmm. So when they set up this minhag, whoever the they was, they wanted to set it up in a lighter way that commemorates. You know, it's just to make some commemoration.
Adding 24,000 people in 33 days is a lot of people.
Yes, that's true. No, I don't mean to minimize it, yeah. But the truth is that 24,000 people in Jewish history is not such a big number. It's we've had worse. I think that's the answer. I think that since it's a minhag ba'alma, so it was made with this kula.
According to the first part that we start on Pesach, aren't we not knowing to have any avelus during the month of Nisan, right? Well, we should all start from Rosh Chodesh, right?
So I think that's probably that may be the reason for, you know, when I said it could be any 33 days, and why they picked these 33 days, I think is because of what you're saying, that we want to leave it out of Nisan. Mm-hmm. But the other minhagim say, so well, we have to still come to the other minhagim. I mean, the minhag of the Beis Yosef Seif is that it's not at all an arbitrary 33 days. That those are the days that they were dying. So what we have so far is that you have the Beis Yosef's minhag of Avelus till day 34. That's not arbitrary at all. That's because there's a Messiah, there's a Makar, that those are the days that they died. The minhag of the Ramah, of going from Rosh Chodesh till the end, is almost arbitrary. Again, I mean, there could be reasons for why those days were picked, but the idea is that just that it should be 33 days. Okay, then we come to the minhag, which I think is probably the most widespread minhag nowadays, certainly one of two most widespread minhagim by Ashkenazim, and that is to go from the beginning until Lag Ba'omer. We said that the Beis Yosef says to go until Lamed Daled. But by Ashkenazim, what many people do is they go from the beginning until Lamed Gimel. So this looks like a minhag that's very close to the Beis Yosef. It's just a day off. The Beis Yosef's minhag was based on Sha'oz Pascu Lamos. So maybe, this is what had the Gra learns, that the minhag of going to Lag Ba'omer is the same idea. That it's until Lag Ba'omer, Sha'oz Pascu Lamos. Where's the Makar, Sha'oz Pascu Lamos? We don't really have such a good Makar, but the Torah says so. They must have had a Messiah like that. But that's the idea, even if we don't know where it says so. The idea is that we're being Mis'abel until, you know, the time that they stop dying. If you say like that, then the meaning of Lag Ba'omer is conceptually the same as the meaning of Lamed Daled Ba'omer. They just differ in a detail. The Bach says that he thinks the Pshat is something entirely different. The meaning of going, there's no Makar whatsoever that they stopped dying on the 33rd of the Omer, and there's no reason to say so. The reason why people are Mis'abel until day 33 is because of what we just said over B'Shem Tosfos, that you need to pick 33 days. They died for 33 days, not till Lag Ba'omer. They died till Shavuos, just not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, not on Rosh Chodesh. But they died for 33 days. So we're Mis'abel for 33 days, so we go until Lag Ba'omer. Now that's fascinating, because what that means is that the minhag of going until Lag Ba'omer is not at all similar to the minhag of going until Lamed Daled. Conceptually, it's related to the minhag of what we call second half of Sira, that it's a matter of picking 33 days, whereas the Beis Yosef's minhag is something entirely different, Sha'oz Pascu Lamos. So you have one minhag, which is the Beis Yosef's, that you go until when they stop dying. You have the minhag of the Ramah, that it's what I'm calling arbitrary 33 days. And yet, then you have the meaning of going until Lag Ba'omer, and there's a machlekes, the Gra and the Bach, about how to understand it. Is it, we know that on the calendar it's very similar, it's close to the Beis Yosef's minhag, but conceptually, is it a sister of the Beis Yosef's minhag, or is it a sister of the Ramah's minhag? It could really fall into either category. It could be looked at in these two different ways. And there's a very, very big nafkamina in this machlekes, as we'll see soon, from Ramosha. But first, we're going to talk about a Tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. A very, very interesting Tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. Somebody sent a shaila to the Chassam Sofer. His name was Reb Zalman Leib, the Rav of Serdalai. This is important. Serdalai, I think, was a city in what was then called Hungary, or Oberland, I think. And his shaila was that there's somebody here in my town that wants to get married during the Shloshes Me'ar Gabala. It's some kind of a Shasat Chak, for whatever reason, that's the time that they could do it. They can't really substitute a different day. Is there any way to be matir? Now, it seems that the minhag in Hungary was that everybody kept the Avelus, what we would call the second half of Sira, but more specifically, they kept it from after Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos. And nobody got married on in Shlesh and Egbal. You had to go all the way till Shavuos. So what they were really asking for permission for was, could we change our minhag by 2 days? Could we change our minhag to the... there's another minhag that's mentioned in Paiskim, which is to start from Rosh Chodesh, not after Rosh Chodesh, but from Rosh Chodesh. So you add 2 days over there, and then you could subtract 2 days at the end, and you can get married the day before, or the day before that, yeah, the day before Shavuos, or the day before that. Those are two different minhagim. Can I change my minhag? So that was the shaila. So the Chassam Sefer wrote something very interesting. He says that, you know, here where I am in Pressburg, I became the Rebbe of Pressburg somewhere in the beginning of the 1800s, maybe 1801. My predecessor was a great Goyin named Rebbe Meshulam Igra. His name is not so well known, but he was one of the great Goyinim of the late 1700s. He was the Rebbe of, I think, of the Ksais HaChayshan and the Nesivis. And he was the Rebbe of Pressburg before the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says that I'm looking through our, you know, bylaws, you know, the records of takanas that were made in this kehillah, and I see that Meshulam Igra made a takana about 20 years ago forbidding anyone to get married during the Shloshes Me'ar Gabala. Based on that, I'm passing for you that it's mutter. Now, that seems like a very surprising ending. Right. Well, how does he be passing that it's mutter for this guy based on a takana from Rav Meshulam Igra that you're not allowed to do it? So the Chassam Sefer said like this. If Rav Meshulam Igra came along and made a takana that you're not allowed to do it, so obviously that means that people were doing it. Now, what were these people? I mean, they were Shomer Shabbos, they were keeping halacha. What's the pshat? They were getting married during the Shloshes Me'ar Gabala. We're all being noyeg avelus then. Obviously, because they were taking the liberty of assuming that you could change your minhag. You could, yeah, you need 33 days. We're knowing to go from after Rosh Chodesh, but you could add the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh and take off the 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Me'agbala. No problem. People felt free to change around their minhag. Came along with Meshulam Igra, and he said, I'm asering that. But if you read the Takana, what he says is, I'm asering that because if you get married in the Rosh Chodesh Me'agbala, but here in, you know, Pressburg is a big city, and every spring there's lots of chasanas. If there's a dozen chasanas every spring, right, and there's a lot of days that you can't make a chasana, so surely someone got married on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So you're going to want to come along on Erev Shavuos, right, or the day before Erev Shavuos, and you're going to make a chasana. And you're going to say, yeah, because I don't know if you're going to make now, let the Avelis start 2 days earlier on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. But then you're saying that that chasana that happened on Rosh Chodesh Iyar was like it did. They can't both be right. And so what the Rav of Pressburg, or Meshulam Igra, was coming to me in Misakin was that we have to have a consistent standard within one city. Pressburg is a big city with a lot of chasanas, and since there's always somebody getting married on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, we can't allow a chasana on Shloshes Me'ar Gabala, because that'll be a tarti disastri with the chasana that happened on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So that was the takana of Meshulam Igra. So the Chassam Sefer says, okay, I'm not arguing with him, but that's for a big city like Pressburg. But in a small town like Sertalai, where you don't have a dozen chasanas happening every spring, Mistama, this person that wants to get married in Shloshes Me'ar Gabala, there's no chasana in Sertalai that happened on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So it's just a shaila of the fact that, well, yeah, but every year in Sertalai, everybody's noyeg avelus until Shavuos. So the shaila is, can I change my minhag? Well, from this takana, I see that everybody was feeling free to change their minhag. And he had no problem with that, except Mishum Tarti Disastri. So based on that, I see that you're allowed to change your minhag. Your shaila is just a shaila of, can I change my minhag? Because you're in a small town, there's no Tarti Disastri. And therefore, he said, I'm giving permission for you that you're allowed to change your minhag and get married on in the Shloshes Me'ar Gabala.
So that Shloshes Me'ar Gabala should be also for a different reason.
Yeah.
Because 3 days before Kabbalah Satorah, Hashem commanded that nobody's allowed to be with their wives.
That's true. That's true. That's a good hara. But that was only a mitzvah l'shah, not l'doyres.
Why? How do you know?
Because we have a shulchan aruch. It tells us when we're allowed to be with our wives. There's no halacha that you're not allowed to be with your wife in Shloshes Me'ar Gabala.
Why would they change that?
You know, maybe when it's close to Shleishis Me'Agbala, we'll have a Shleishis Me'Agbala shir. But there's no such halacha.
If you want to be machmir, you can.
I'm married already.
A married person also has to keep halachas of when he's allowed to be with his wife.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
You better move on quickly.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. He's just smiling downwards.
So the Chassam Sofer was matir this chasana in the Shleishis Me'Agbala. And again, and basically what he was saying with Fiza was that you're allowed to change your minhag, that it's mutter to change around your minhag. So now Rav Moshe comes along. It's just an interesting ending to that tshuva. He writes that this is my psak for you. Just, of course, it goes, you know, you have to understand that this is only provided that you don't have anything on record over there from Rav David Deutsch. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. Now, who's Rav David Deutsch? Rav David Deutsch was a contemporary of the Chassam Sofer, who was a Talmud of the Nediv Yehuda. The Nediv Yehuda was the previous generation, and a very big Talmud Chacham. Obviously, his name is not nearly as well known to us as the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer was the Gadol Hador, and his Psakim and Shuvas, you know, remain part of the legacy of Klai, so all the day-by-day race. Rav David Deutsch is fairly anonymous, but he was somebody who had been a Rav in Sirdalai, and then he had moved on, and then he was a Rav in some other city. The Chassam Sofer said that if you had a Gadol like that, who was the Marad Astra, so you have to follow his Psakim. And so I'm writing you a tshuva. This is my shtickel Torah. I think based on what I'm saying, that there's a basis to mekel, but you have to check your own local records to see if you have any serum from Rav David Deutsch. It's an interesting ending to the tshuva. But based on that, he's matir. Now, fast forward to the 20th century. Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is the Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf Nun Tes. It's a tshuva that he was writing to the Vada Rabbanim of Flatbush. That's who sent him the shayla. He wanted to know how to set policy here in New York and Brooklyn about when people are allowed to get married during Sira. And Rav Moshe said that, I'm using this Chassam Sofer as a model. The Chassam Sofer said, you're allowed to change your minhag. He was dealing with very small change, right? There was a minhag of after a Chodesh Tol Shavuos or on a Chodesh Tol Shleishis Me'Agbala. And the Chassam Sofer said, you're allowed to change it around, even though the minhag that everyone was following in Hungary was from after Rosh Chodesh until Shleishis Me'Agbala. But if it suits you this year to change it, I say if it suits you. The truth is that his lashon was, if it's a shasat chak, he didn't want you to be too flippant with it. But I guess when planning a chasana, there's always an element of shasat chak because you have to coordinate a lot of different people's, you know, there's the Kala schedule and there's the Mechutanim schedule and there's the whole, you know, the hall's availabilities. And so at least B'Shasat Chak, he said, the Chassam Sofer said that if you want to change from one minute to the other, you're allowed. Now, he was talking about a very minor change. Rav Moshe says, okay, nowadays, no one's interested in that change. Am I allowed to switch those 2 days? Now, here in New York, there are two minhagim that are very prevalent. There's the minhag of going from Rosh Chodesh to Shavuos, and there's the minhag of going from Pesach to Lag Ba'omer. And the shaila really is that if every year, let's say, I keep from Pesach to Lag Ba'omer, but this year I want to make a chasana, and the time that works out is in the week after Pesach, can I make a chasana in that week? And then minhag avelus from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos, like some of my fine neighbors are doing, but I never do that. Am I allowed to change my minhag? So we have a makor in the Chassam Sofer that you're allowed to change your minhag. But that was a very minor change. Here, we're asking for a major change, right? To switch from the first half of the Sefirah to the second half, from the second half to the first half. So the shaila is, are these two minhagim conceptually close with just a difference in the details? Or are they doing two totally different things? And that is the machlekes that we learned before between the Bach and the Gra. There are some people that are noyeg avelus till the time shepasku lamos. That for sure is the meaning of the Beis Yosef. Till lamedala, that's because that sha'az pasku lamos. There are others that have a minhag to pick 33 days. That's the minhag of the Ramah, what we call second half of Sira. What about the minhag to go until Lag Ba'omer? According to the, now if you remember, the Gra said that that's also a Oz Pasku Lamos. Just instead of saying that they stopped on 34, they said this Makar says they stopped on 33. We don't know exactly where it comes from, but that's the basis for this minhag. If that's true, then this minhag is closely related to the Seisei's minhag, but it's not at all related to the minhag of the Ramah, to the minhag of second half of Sfirah. If this is true, then you can't switch back and forth between first half of Sfirah and second half of Sfirah. They're you're doing two totally different things, and you're really breaking your minhag. There's an Al Titish Tayar Simecha on that. But if we learn like the Bach, that those that were noyeg avelus until Lag Ba'omer is because you need 33 days. There's a makar that they died for 33 days, so we do avelus for 33 days. The Ramah had one idea of picking the last 33 days, and other people picked the first 33 days. But it's really the same idea. Conceptually, it's the same minhag. If that's true, then it's the same as the Chacham Sofer's change, even though the Chacham Sofer was just talking about moving it 2 days, and we're moving it 16 days. But conceptually, it's the same thing. It's just picking 33 days. So if you hold like the Bach, then yes, it would be mutter to switch from first half to second half to first half. If you hold like the Gra, it would be Aser. So how should we paskin on this? Dr. Moshe, since b'inyonim elu holchim lahakel, like we said before, it's just a minig. There's no real halach thing anyway. It doesn't come from the Talmud Bavli altogether. It's a minig Yisrael. So if it's a minig matter, and it's a machlekes ha-paiskim between two, you know, legitimate paiskim, we could go lahakel on that, at least b'shas ha-tchak. And Rav Moshe says that you could be semich on the Bach. And based on that, he says that you could switch from minig of first half to minig of second half, and vice versa. So that was a very major chiddush that Rav Moshe said that allows people when they want to make a chasana to change their minhag.
If an Ashkenaz marries a Sephardi, and the Sephardi minhag is to eat kidney asan and Pesach, can the other person change their minhag and eat like the Sephardi?
That's a good shaila. Now we're gonna stick to the Sefiras Ayim minhag.
What about if my minhag doesn't align with the Bala Simchas?
Okay, so hopefully if we have time, we'll come to that. Rav Moshe has three big chiddushim in this tshuva. That's going to be the third. We just did the first. Let's see what we can get to. So step one was Rav Moshe says that you're allowed to change your minhag. Okay. But then he has the Rav Shlomo Migra to contend with. Because Chassam Sofer said, you in Sirdalai, you could change your minhag. Because your only concern is that you know what you're doing this year doesn't line up with what you're doing last year. It's okay, you're allowed to change. But we here in Presburg, we can't do that because it's a big city and there's a lot of chasanas. So if someone gets married in the Shlishi Me'agabola, it's going to be a tarte desatz with the person that got married on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Right. So to translate that into New York terms, we're talking about the first half of Sfirah, second half of Sfirah. If we allow people to get married in the week following Pesach, and we also allow people to get married after Lag Ba'omer, so then New York is going to have a Tarek Tzitzas. New York is even bigger than Presburg. There's a lot of chasanas. So Aram Shulam Igra said that we should be makpid on that, and the Chassam Sofer also was following that. The Chassam Sofer is our whole makar to be makel to change your minug, but he said that he wouldn't allow it for Presburg, so how could he allow it for New York? So Rav Moshe says Chiddush number two, and he says that there's three levels. There's Klein Shtetl, there's Greiser Stadt, like Presburg, and then there's New York. New York. There's no place like it. He says New York doesn't have a halacha tacta disastri. And it's interesting. He really writes two nukudas. It's not specifically because it's so big, but because it's a melting pot. Minig HaMakom, people came to New York New York doesn't have its own history. Everybody came as an immigrant, right? It's not like the places where Yidden lived for centuries and they developed their minhagim. In New York, it started with people coming from all over, right? It was the beginning of the Kehillah, you had a mixture of Yidden from Russia and Yidden from Germany. And then, you know, as time went on, you had from every part of Europe. And then as time went on, even after that, you know, now with all the Svardim that have come in the last, let's say, 40, 50 years, after Moshe wrote this tshuva. So you have Mamish, you know, Mikol, Abraham, for Saaret, are all in New York. And there's also no idea, no concept of central rule, right? And it used to be that it would be a Merida Astra. Even a big city like Presburg, you had a lot of Yidden, so there were a lot of shuls. They didn't all daven together. But there was one Rav. He was the Rav of Presburg. It was a government position. It was an official thing. There was the Rav of the city, the Merida Astra. And then, you know, smaller shuls could have their local Rav, but there was one Rav of the city. In New York, there's no such thing. Possibly because of the same thing that we were just talking about, that people are coming from all over. But whatever the reasons are, there's definitely no Rav of New York. So, therefore, there's no expectation of uniformity. So even though in the old world, yes, there was a strong ethic that a city was supposed to be consistent, and it had to be a minhag hamakom, and it had to be a marid, you know, a marid aser with his policies. But in New York, you don't have that, and so the whole concern of tarti desastri is not applicable over here, and therefore you just need to be internally consistent for yourself, which means if you got married this year, the first half of Surah, don't get married this year, second half of Surah. Right? That would be a problem. If somebody got married, got divorced, and is getting married again, that's he would have to wait until after Shavuos for that. But right, barring that, right, she obviously is never going to be Negea. So each individual is only getting married once, so you have the Hetter of the Chacham Sofer, you're allowed to change your minhag. And we don't have to worry about Rav Shlomo Inger's Tarti Desatri, because in New York there's no central authority, there's no uniform practice. Okay, then we come to the question of, this is what you were raising before, what about the guests? If I want to make a chasana, so even though ordinarily I'm noyga velos until Lag Ba'omer, but 1 year I want to make a chasana, so I could change my minhag and say, okay, I'm going to make a chasana in the week after Pesach, and this year I'll be noyga velos from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos. I invite my neighbor, right, my friends. Do they also have to change their minhag? And if they do, so then what are they going to do when they're invited to another wedding after Lag Ba'omer? So Rav Moshe says, and this is also a very big chiddush, this one he has particular difficulty with because it seems to be against the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer seem to argue against this, but Rav Moshe says that he thinks maybe he could reconcile it with the words of the Chassam Sofer, but at any rate, he says, he takes it on himself really to Paskin as follows, that the guests and even the Masad the Kedushin, they have nothing to worry about. There's nothing wrong with going to a chasana during Sfira. There's only something wrong with making a chasana during Sfira, right? There's a halach of avilas, ain noisim nashim, right? There's a meaning not to get married. That's the isser. But going to a chasana, it has no isser at all. You're allowed to do that during your yemei avilas. Why? What's the pshat? Because once somebody's making a chasana, then there's a simchas chasan. A simchas chasan is doicha avilas. So if once there's a legitimate simchas chasan going on, so even though I'm not being noyeg avelis now, but the simchas chasan is doicha avelis, so I'm allowed to go and be mishtatef. And Rav Moshe says, I'll bring you a raya. So the raya is that if let's say somebody gets married on right before Rosh Chodesh Iyar, right, going with the minhag of what we call second half of Surah, so you get married right before Rosh Chodesh Iyar, but then for the following 7 days you have sheva brachas and you make simchas. And that's during Sfira, Lakuliyam, all the minhagim. Those are Yemei Avelos. And yet, you're going to be Misameach Simchas Chasan. He says, that's Mutter. Because once the Simchas Chasan was Chal, that's Doichalei Avelos of Sfira. And so for the guests, if you're invited to a Chasana, once the Chasana is taking place, that's Doichalei the Avelos of Sfira. So you're allowed to go. The shaila is only, are you allowed to make the chasana? Because after all, there's a minhag of Ein Neisim Nashim. That's good for the din of Avelis. They're not allowed to make a chasana. So you need a heter to make the chasana. But you don't need a heter to go. So therefore, he says, you don't have to worry about the tarti desastri either. You can't say, well, if I went to that chasana, that means I wasn't being Noyeg Avelis. Then, no, you were being Noyeg Avelis, but you went to a chasana. Some chasana was Deichel
Avelis.
So the
days of Svira, the Avelis category, what is that comparable to? Is that like the 3 weeks, or it's not the 9 days, but it's not personal avelus, because we wouldn't go to a wedding if you're in your 30 days or your right. 7 days or your even your 11 months for a parent. So
right.
What is the sphere of avelus?
I think it's its own set of rules. The
its own category outside of the 3 weeks,
yeah,
and outside.
Right,
of
because you're making a very good point that we don't say this when somebody is in avelus achmanu son for a parent. That, well, the chasana is making a chasana, and then his simchas chasan is deicha my avelis. It's not. His simchas chasan is deicha his avelis. If Rahman al-San, the chasana was an avel.
But personal it's, thing versus a public thing.
Maybe that's why. That since over here, the whole avelis is a public one.
The 3 weeks we have avelis during the 3 weeks and the 9 days.
Right, and there, and nobody can make a chasana. But over there, since it's all one. The truth is, you have it over there also, because the Svardim don't have, I don't think, any minhagim of 3 weeks. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think the Svardim have any minhagim of 3 weeks. So minhagim Svardim will make a chasana after Shavasa Batamas. And then Ashkenazim to go You know, I'm just thinking about it. I don't know if that happens. I don't recall.
We don't get invited.
Do you know, Aaron?
I once heard on like the 90s and like.
Uh huh. Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Lemaitzi, you're definitely right that this is not. Right, this is not a story that we follow with the Avelis, you know, for a relative. But for this Avelis, at least, this is what Ramesha says, that the Avelis is doicha, or the Simchas Chasson is doicha the Avelis, and therefore, once the Chasson is going on, you don't need a heter of your Avelis to go.
I remember hearing...